So VR and AR, what happens is it allows shoppers to virtually try on clothes. I can take a selfie of myself or I can put my photo and try on clothes and see how I look in that particular shade, color, pattern, whatever, right? So this will actually, help the shoppers to make a very, very informed decision with respect to the purchase. And it will also help them to reduce the number of returns, which, helps the retailers.
Hello, and welcome to the Funnel Podcast, a digital experience podcast by Blue Acorn ICI. Each month, we'll uncover new strategies and topics related to e-commerce. And I'm your host, Sarah G. I'm the Senior Content Marketing Manager here at Blue Acorn ICI. This week, we'll be learning more about hyper-immersive experiences with our guest, Prabha. Did you know that the more companies adopt digital commerce capabilities, the better they perform? Infosys found that a 10% increase in adoption correlates with a 3% increase in performance on customer, financial, and strategic outcomes. When organizations invest in automation and artificial intelligence, or AI, they can improve overall performance by 1%. And our guest today joins the show to talk more about how companies can start implementing hyper-immersive and automated experiences to increase performance. Prabha is a practice manager at Infosys who handles the digital interaction for the services, utilities, resources, and energy vertical and the healthcare, insurances, and life sciences vertical. She has experience building digital enterprises where she helps clients simplify business processes and optimize operations to enable new ways of working. Let's get started. Prabha, thanks so much for joining us. In the world of commerce, we're always looking towards the future and new technologies that can change the way customers interact with brands. Could you tell me more about what a hyper-immersive experience is?
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for inviting me in. Hyper-immersive experience can enhance the user's experience by creating a sense of highly realistic and total immersion in a virtual environment, often using advanced technologies. So this can involve using virtual reality, we call it as VR, augmented reality, AR, or mixed reality, to create a simulated world that the users can interact with in real time. So gamification, Gen AI-based simulated environments, and several other technical advancements can offer this immersive experience to the user. Just to highlight, let me outline some very simple and straightforward examples to make it more clear. VR games allows user to step into a completely virtual world and interact with it as if they are really there. This can be used to create realistic simulations of real world activities, such as flying a plane, driving a car, or it can be used to create completely fantastical worlds that would be impossible to experience in the real world, right? Mm-hmm. One more thing on the augmented reality experience. So AR experiences are overlay digital information onto the real world. It allows users to see and interact with digital objects that are not there actually. So this can be used to create educational experience, tours of historical sites or interactive science exhibits, or it can be used for entertainment. Again, VR, it can be used for games that allows users to interact with the virtual characters or objects in the real world, right? So that is more of augmented reality. Mixed reality, what happens in that is, it combines both VR and AR experiences to create a hybrid environment that is part real and part virtual. That is even more exciting. So this can be used to create experiences that are very, very realistic or more realistic than VR, and which will still allow users to interact with the real world. So it is like real plus virtual, right? That is mixed. So for example, imagine a virtual dinosaur walking around the living room, and it could allow them to collaborate with colleagues on a virtual project while still being able to see each other in the real world. So it's very difficult to imagine, but that is how the experience is going to be.
Wow. Yeah, that'll be really cool.
So hyper-immersive experiences, it definitely have the potential to revolutionize the way that we interact with entertainment and information right now, right? So once, as we see the technology evolves and continues to improve, I'm very sure that we can expect to see even more exciting and immersive experiences in the future.
I have a little bit of experience. using like VR headsets to play video games, but I'm really interested with how, and it was really fun and realistic. And I was like, oh, how I move my body. I'm actually in this game right now, which was amazing. What kind of hyper immersive experiences do any exist in the commerce space right now? Or do you see maybe one or two being the first ones to be introduced in the commerce space?
Actually, it is kind of, not very evolved, but we are reaching there. For example, consider me, right? I'm a shopper. As a shopper, I prefer a very seamless and personalized shopping experience. So for retail or for anybody who is actually looking into it, understanding the customer by analyzing the transaction records and optimizing the commerce channels are the key to achieve this, right? As a general shopping experience. So one real life example, I shop at an online fashion retailer, right? So once I do the shopping, surprisingly, I receive a AI generated, very tailored post-purchase message, okay, which includes personalized recommendations for complimentary products. And that is based on my previous purchases and shopping history. It also includes the special loyalty discounts, and it also includes the exclusive offers that they have, primarily as a token of appreciation for my continued support, right? So this helps me, or this enhances my shopping experience, and it also encourages me to explore additional items from the retailer. One more thing, I also get a trend report that helps me understand, if I made the right decision, or if it is like, because there are some things I'm just buying, right? So that is also equally important. One more thing I want to add is, I want to give some advanced examples around this in the commerce space, but these are still in the mid development stage, yet to actually, get into the market. But we are actually waiting for these to come very soon. So digital twins. So digital twins are virtual replicas of the physical products or the environment. So they can be used to simulate the use of a product or to train employees how to use it. This is one thing that we are waiting. And brain-computer interfaces. So we call it as BCI. So BCI, this allows users to control the devices or the computers with their minds. So this could
Whoa.
be used to, yeah, imagine. So this could be used to allow shoppers to select products or pay for them without having to physically interact with the device, and then haptic technology. So this is basically allows users to feel the physical sensations through their devices. So this could be used to give shoppers a very realistic experience when trying on clothes or when they try to buy a furniture for their living room, whatever.
Wow.
So interestingly, what we have come across, a lot of examples of hyper immersive and automated experience that are already exist, okay, in the commerce space. While the above ones are like, we are waiting for that to come into the market. The already existing ones are VR and AR based shopping. So VR and AR, what happens is it allows shoppers to virtually try on clothes. I can take a selfie of myself, or I can put my photo and try on clothes and see how I look in that particular shade, color, pattern, whatever, right? Even furniture, they can take a copy of their living room and see where the couch could be, right? Or where the bed could be in their bedroom. Any other product for that matter before they buy them. So this will actually, help the shoppers to make a very, very informed decision with respect to the purchase, and it will also help them to reduce the number of returns, which helps the retailers, right? And
Absolutely.
chatbots is another thing. Chatbots are, we all come across chatbots, right? So chatbots are automated programs where, it helps any customer query. First we will say, may I help you, right? So that is another thing that is widely used nowadays to answer any queries from the clients and to provide the support. So this is also basically frees up lot of customer service representatives, their bandwidth, so that they can focus on other more, complex tasks. Another thing what we have noticed is personalized recommendations. So this is again AI based, right? No, sorry, not AR, AI based, AI powered personalization engine is what we can call it. So this recommends products to shoppers based on their previous history, browsing behaviors, or any other factors related to their shopping. So they, if I would have shopped for a certain, a kind of material for a while, it gets stored somewhere, right? And from there, the shoppers would be able to pick up those and see how they can actually give me or help me discover further new products which I have not explored so far. So that's very interesting, Sarah. Where we have not a very good experience is on this checkout process, right? So now automated checkout has come in that allows shoppers to check out very quickly and easily so that they don't have to wait for a long time in the line. So this is also something I could see that, you know, there is a lot of, you know, improvement with respect to the customer experience. And this also reduces the number of abandoned carts. So that is another thing that, you know, is already in place. Interestingly, live streaming is another option where it allows shoppers to interact with the brands and products in real time. So this is a way to build great relationship with the customers and helps them to promote the products. So that way, there are a lot of such examples that are already in place. And I'm sure, like, you know, as the technology continues to evolve, we can expect to see even more innovative and engaging experience being developed in the future. That's what,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be.
Everything just keeps getting better and better. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to look into these products because I'm suggested this. And oh, I like, you know, the buy online and just pick up in store and all of these new options that weren't available. It seems like a couple, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. We primarily look and feel, right? You know, so if that is also provided online and, you know, through AI, there is no way that, you know, we need to actually, you know, take ourselves, get into a shop and buy. You know, we can always, you know, look at a lot more other ways for easy shopping.
Mm-hmm. Do you foresee any security concerns or just any negatives associated with adding not only the automated experiences, but in the future, some more hyper immersive experiences once they're more readily available?
That's a very good question, Sarah. Obviously, the positives and negatives, right, of adding experience. It depends upon the specific requirement or the experience is what I would call it. And also the context, right, in which, they are getting added. First, let us touch on the positives, right? Positives is one is engagement and interactivity. So obviously, this hyper-immersive experiences engage customers on a very, very deeper level. So they get very memorable interaction and emotional connection to a greater extent, right? You know, all of us will agree. Mm-hmm. And second thing is personalization and convenience. So automation, it provides a very tailored or custom experience based on their preferences, and that helps in enhancing the convenience and relevance. So that is another thing that is time saver, convenience, all that comes into picture. The third thing is innovative branding. So adopting cutting-edge technology demonstrates a commitment to innovation, positioning the brand as forward-thinking, right? So branding is also plays a very key role here. Then learning and training. So this experience definitely enhanced the entire training. I would say that it revolutionized the entire employee training and skill development, right? Due to a lot of realistic simulations. So we take training to an entirely different level. So these are some of the positives, Sarah, I could definitely, you know, relate to. Obviously, you know, there are definitely not so positive, but negatives that we should definitely keep in mind. Accessibility and inclusion, right? So see, not everybody will have that access with respect to the necessary hardware or even the skills for hyper-immersive experiences, right? Especially looking at certain demographics or, you know, certain culture. So that is something that, you know, we have to keep it in mind. And then, as you rightly asked, data privacy, ethical concerns, security, right? This is going to be very, very important because this entire thing involves collecting lots of personal data, primarily for personalization. And this data is not just collected, but processed as well, which definitely raises a lot of concern about data security and privacy. And this is something that we have to definitely keep it in mind. And then the complexity or the learning curve. So this experience may be too complex for users, and this might lead to a lot of frustration. Somebody might say that, no, I don't want to go with this. This is not at all helping. So that kind of learning curve might be there depending upon the skill level of the people. This is not physical, right? This entire experience depends upon the technology. So we are actually relying too much on automation. That definitely could lead to very reduced human interaction, Okay, there could be situation that we can say that, you know, if it is getting more and more reduced, and if the automation or algorithm does not work in the right way, we could expect a reduction in customer satisfaction, right? So this is something that we can actually, you know, we have to keep it in mind. Then I was actually looking at, you know, for example, a positive experience, right? You know, if somebody wants to travel to a different location, and you know, if they have not traveled outside their country, adding this as an experience will help them learn about a different culture. They get a lot of knowledge about how the other country operates. So this is one experience that we should be able to give a very hyper immersive and automated experience. But at the same time, you see, somebody is afraid of heights, somebody is afraid of water, and if they want to, or if they want to experience scuba diving in a digital way, if we provide that hyper immersive experience, may not be something that they might still like, because they are already right, it could be still stressful for them, right? You know, so it is like very important to weigh the potential positives and negatives of adding any new experience before we make the decision. If the potential benefits outweigh the risks, because everything has a pro and con, if the benefit outweigh the risk, it may be worth to taking the chance. But if the risks are very great, we need to rethink and see if there is a way that we can avoid that experience.
Like with any piece of technology, there's always going to be the early adopters who get really involved and into whatever that experience will be. And then you're going to have the laggards, and it's just the curve of how are people really going to adopt this technology, or is it not working for your customer? So if a leader or an organization is wanting to incorporate more of these experiences, whether it be hyper immersive experiences in the future or automated experiences, what are some of the first steps they can take?
If the organization wants to incorporate a hyper immersive experience into their business, the CMOs and the CIOs, they need to consider certain factors. The first and foremost, the purpose of the experience. What do you want the experience to achieve? Do you want to educate, entertain, or sell? And the target audience, who is going to be experiencing this? What are their interests? What are their needs, requirements? So the technology. What is the technology that they are going to leverage to create this experience? Because there are a number of technologies available, so they need to get the right technology and the budget, because this is not going to be easy. How much money they are ready to spend to get this experience. So these are some of the factors. But after carefully considering these factors, they can definitely look for hyper-immersive experiences for their business that are both you know, effective and engaging. For example, creating virtual showrooms. This is not very complex, but it is a very realistic need that anybody would like to experience with. So this is a very great way for businesses to showcase their products and services in a much more immersive manner. We talked about furniture, right? So the furniture retailer can build a virtual showroom where customers can walk around and see the furniture in different rooms. For example, IKEA, we could have, you know, seen that, right? It is physical still. But if you bring that experience to relate to their own home, they should be able to enjoy that even, you know, even more or even better. And obviously, you know, providing or giving this experience is going to help them generate leads and sales, no doubt about it, right? Because this is a very, very engaging experience and a very good marketing campaign. So they
Absolutely.
should be able to definitely, you know, expect more leads and obviously, you know, increase in sales. I would also like to touch upon some additional tips, Sarah.
Yeah.
Right, you know,
Go
so
for it. Yeah.
the first suggestion is, you know, start with something small. They don't have to create a very larger experience, a large scale experience right away. They can do something small, because you know, there are everything that we do right now can be automated. Everything that we do right now, there is a way to add very deeper experience. So it is like, you know, we can start with something simple and then see how we can build on it to get more experience as we go through this process. The second thing is, we need to actually have collaboration with the experts, right? So there are a lot of companies that had come up which specialization in creating hyper experience. So partnering with one of these companies can help them create a very high quality experience, though, because they come up, they did the pros and cons, they have that experience, so they should be able to relate what the companies are looking at and should be able to give a much more, you know, broader view in terms of how it can be achieved. They can actually do some test with a limited set of users and see and get the feedback for their line of business and see how they are able to identify any areas of improvement around this. Hyper immersive experiences are a very, very powerful tool, Sarah, which can be used to engage customers, employees, partners. So by following these, I think, you know, companies would be able to create hyper immersive experiences that will help them achieve their business goals is what, you know.
Yeah. And I think those starting tips are really good to keep in mind. You're not going to have this full blown experience just starting out. It's going to starting small and just growing upon what you're building is a great way, and working with companies that know what they're doing, and you can continue to collaborate and expand on those experiences.
That's right, Sarah.
Well, thank you so much, Prabha, for joining us. And as we close out today, be sure to follow Prabha on LinkedIn. Her information is linked in the show notes, and follow Blue Acorn ICI on LinkedIn as well. And of course, if you've been listening for a while, be sure to give The Funnel a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps the podcast continue to grow. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.